This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is my partner in crime and, amongst other things, PGMLO assessor and Somerset County Training Officer, plus my mentor, Rich Mellon.
Hi, Darren.
Welcome back, Rich. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, and you, mate. Yeah.
Since we last saw you, you've had one or two rather nice holidays.
Yeah.
So you're looking well for it.
Very nice. Yeah, I've probably too well, too rounded, I think, is the thing. But we'll get back on the bike, as they say, and do something about it.
So some slight changes with the way the podcast is going to roll out from now on. Instead of having sort of 45-minute discussions and lengthy debates, we're going to have some small 20-minute bite-sized podcasts for you. So hopefully we can cram a few more in your direction, because at times we don't always get the chance and the time to get together. So what we'll do is, when we do get together, we'll make the most of it by doing two or three all at once. So we'll start with Rich's Ramblings, and that's how we'll start each podcast from now on. And that's basically a bit of anything from Rich himself. Rich, your ramblings will take us in which direction for this particular episode?
Well, I'm good at rambling, Dad, so thanks for the invite. This could be a bit wild here. Recent ramblings. I was fortunate enough to be invited to go to the Southampton. I was fortunate enough to go to the Southampton Academy last weekend with a couple of level 4 referees that I'm coaching, because I'm now going to take on some coaching within the regional development group with Martin Cassidy as the coordinator. And we went to Southampton. It's a 4-team tournament. We had Southampton, Brighton, Reading and Chelsea there, the 4 teams. They played a round-robin competition. They played 40-minute games, 2 20-minute halves, and the top 2 teams from the round-robin progressed into the international group. So it's basically an under-16 qualifier, and the opportunity for our level 4 referees to go there and referee in those circumstances. It was a totally safe environment. And I must say, Southampton Academy, thank you very much for looking after us. And in particular, Albert Asprey, who we spoke to recently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we did. We spoke to Albert. And it's not through that connection that we got the invite. It was an FA invite to the regional academy to send referees.
And was it played at Southampton's football stadium?
No, it wasn't played at St. Mary's.
Or was it the training ground?
It was actually at the training ground. And the training ground, they've invested some serious money down there. I don't know. I'll guess and say millions. I could be slightly up, but millions is my guess.
Well, let's be honest about it. They're clearly, and it's been visible to see over the last 2-3 years, they're clearly developing and really producing some good players at Southampton, aren't they?
Southampton, they are well known through the media.
The great thing is it's homegrown talent as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is obviously a big talking point where the England team is concerned.
Yeah, well, we were down there for 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock kickoff, and I took Kieran Sammons and Rob Fortune down, 2 level 4 referees, just stepped up to Supply League refereeing this year. They had the opportunity to referee those competitions, or that competition in those clubs. They'd done 3 games, 20 minutes each half, so they'd done 3 40-minute games, and at the end of it, they were well and truly...
cream-crackered?
Tired. Let me say tired, if you know what I mean. But the experience of refereeing in those circumstances whereby there's no spectators, no parents, it was just club coaches and a very, very safe environment for all players and referees to develop safely without harassment.
And one quick question on how the officials all got on.
Well, I'll talk very briefly about both the individuals, because they did have a very good day. They did enjoy themselves. I know that much.
I'm just reading a tweet actually from Kieran. It says, "Great day reffing at Southampton FC training ground under 16 academy tournament, joined by Rob Fortune and coached by one Mr. Mellon."
Yeah, that was a tweet I think he did. So, you know, they both enjoyed it. They both had a good game in every sense for the three appointments that they had that day. Kieran, if I look at Kieran's game, he knows this. We've talked about it, and I think it's not a bad thing to share. Kieran's, his game management has got to be a little bit more, intelligent. You know, don't be the only person that sees a foul out there. Don't be the only person that gives
don't
a free
be busy.
Kick.
We've said it before.
Yeah, don't be busy, referee. You're not the only person out there. Mm. Let the players enjoy it. There is an expectation that certain levels of football, probably all levels really, there is an expectation that there will be some form of contact. Now, you've got to gauge your level of involvement without being picky, without being busy, as you just described. And, you know, Kieran's on that occasion just saw too many fouls, saw too much, stopped the game unnecessarily, you know, and we just want him to gauge his level of involvement a little bit more according to the game and the mood and the tempo of the game. If the mood and the tempo is good, let the players play. If it's not, then you stop it until they start playing. You keep stopping the game until they start realising that they're not going to get away with things that are unacceptable.
And I'm sure they don't mind you talking about these comments that you're talking about on the podcast. How did Rob Fortune get on?
Rob's the big thing for Rob in comparison to Kieran was slightly different because I wanted to look at Rob. I hadn't worked with him for a couple of years. And what we used with Rob was we focused on his movement in open play. Rob would come across the field of play as the play developed from fullback through to the front line. And then all of a sudden, Rob would stop running when play got near him. Now, stop running, yeah, I don't mind that. But where he was stopping running was in the way of players' space, the areas where they were going to pass, where they were going to move into. And it almost became like a wall where Rob decided to stop moving. So I introduced a couple of ideas about trying to loop around behind play, try to stop your movement a little bit sooner and pause briefly. And it's almost like opening the garden gate to let the dog in or the dog out, whichever way you want to look at it. And then you scoop round behind play and try to adopt that. So that was what we did with Rob. And I must admit, having seen that on the first game watching Rob, by the third game, he had started using it and his whole movement his thought process was so much better. And it was just simple things that we introduced. So, you know, I don't see this is just exclusive to level fours, but I think it's available to anybody if they want to consider it.
So well done, Rob, and well done, Kieran.
Yeah.
It's the Referees World podcast, the new bite-sized edition. It's Darren and Rich here. Hope you're okay. If you're a new listener, then don't forget you can listen to us online at refereesworld.co.uk. Best way we suggest is by downloading the podcast from iTunes onto your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever it is you use to listen to audio on. And then you can listen at any point, whenever you like. Simple as that. Just go to iTunes and search for Referees World podcast. Right, next up, moving on from Rich's ramblings, we're going to discuss handball. Handball is what we're going to talk about. So Rich has got his little magic cards out, which have everything on there that we need to know. It's like his little hand Bible. It's great. And I know that we often talk about various subjects over and over again, but it's drilling the message home. And that's the important thing, particularly for new referees.
Yeah, well, we are, I think, are we 2 years old or 3 years old coming up as a podcaster?
I've lost count now, Rich. It's pushing three, I think.
Could well be. So, you know, we have covered this subject before, but it's not a subject that disappears. It is a subject that keeps coming along every so often, whereby an interpretation and a reminder of what's accepted, what isn't, what's expected with handball. If I use the first Saturday of the Premiership season, a few weeks back now, West Ham played Tottenham. And I think, if I remember correctly, a Tottenham player was dismissed for handball. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to consider, was it deliberate? That's your first thing as referee. So make the decision, was the handball deliberate? And then you've got to consider other things. Mm-hmm. Now, here comes the test for you, Dad. What's the criteria that you might consider to award handball? Or maybe not award handball? So what things would you be
okay, I
for?
Suppose, bearing in mind the incident you've just referred to, I suppose you'd have to think about where on the field of play this particular incident happened. And following off the back of that, how you would restart.
Okay.
Would be a good point as well.
So you talk about on the field of play, whereabouts. What influences decisions on the field of play then? Let's say you've given a handball and use the West Ham versus Tottenham as an example. Do you really think that that was denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity? Or should it have been just an award of penalty kick for handball?
I'd say the latter.
Okay. You just answered it in one, the latter, yeah. Not every handball is going to be denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity in the penalty area. And that's what you've got to look at. The laws are written whereby it says denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. Not just denial of a goal scoring opportunity.
I wonder whether or not with it being the first game of the season, the referee was a little trigger happy just on that occasion because, you know, trying to ease himself back into the run of things.
Not being privy to the conversation between the match officials for that game, I'm not willing to put the blame on the referee. I'm not willing to put the blame on the assistant referee. But between them, there was a decision to dismiss the player. Hmm. Now, what other things? Let's go into the areas of, we've talked about on the field of play, and it will carry a consequence in some cases of dismissal. We will recognise that there will be those occasions, but on this occasion, it was possibly not denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. Let's go on to a couple of other things relating to handball. What are you looking for as relating to handball?
The movement of arms, I guess, in and around around the bodily regions where it could effectively stop the ball.
Yeah. Let's describe positions as I make signals to you.
Right, okay. okay, so go on then, show me a position.
Okay, position of my arms currently at the moment. Describe it.
Okay, imagine a Y. Richard's standing there and as if he's shrugging his shoulders as if to say, who, me?
YMCA.
Yeah, effectively.
I'm at the YMCA.
You're
doing
at the YMCA.
Village people.
It is a very village person
it's
type thing.
With your day
which
job.
I can deal with, but it's the leather pants, Rich, that I can't deal with.
Hey,
so, yeah, arms out in that Y yep. shape. They okay. don't need to be out, do they?
Let me say to you, think about an expected position for the arms as opposed to unexpected. Some of the arms positions will be in an expected position. Would you expect to see that as I make the gesture to you at the moment?
No.
My arms are out wide and I'm making the Y. I'm the shape of a Y.
I would say that you're treading on very thin ice to have your arms out there like that.
You're going to say that the player's running a risk, yeah?
Yeah. Whereas if you had your arms braced down by your sides and perhaps, like I am, you've got your arms behind your back slightly with your hands acting as a little tail.
That is a trend.
And that is clearly an effort by the player concerned, trying not to be caught out by handball.
That's a nice area in which to get involved with then. What about then a player that's trying to get himself out of the way of being hit by the ball around the arms, around the area of the arms? You know, are we actually identifying his action as not trying to be hit by the ball? And then consequently, that word deliberate, that comes into play, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends how cynical you are, really. Personally, I mean, you have to, as a referee, you have to watch the body language of the player concerned and how he's doing it and what's going on around him. But because if there is a melee in the goal area, say melee, a lot of fast movement going on and you know, you're doing what you can to...
Mm-hmm. Let me give you a scenario then. A player.
I personally, I would not blow for handball for that.
If he's trying to get out the way.
If he's trying to get out the way and his arms are behind his back and he's clearly trying to get out the way, okay. I would play on.
Now I want to play devil's advocate then.
Okay.
Because a player who's turning his back on the ball is arguably not watching the ball and is not wanting to get hit by the ball. But the position of his arms are above his shoulder.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So as though the way to protect to describe this is imagine you're looking at the sun and you're trying to protect yourself from the sunlight. So your arms are up there. that for me would be a handball because it's your arms are not in
expected or unexpected, isn't it? That's the position of the arms.
It depends. I mean, if the ball is kicked and you think it's going to come towards your face and you put your hands up against your face like that tightly,
that's slightly different.
That's slightly different.
Directly in front of your face.
Yeah, if they're up there above your head, as if to
and
say
away from your face.
Yeah. Then more YMCA stuff going on there.
Yeah.
That would be a handball. For me, that would be a handball.
Yeah. So, you know, there's things to discuss there as regards or consider when you're making that decision of handball or not. What about then other things to consider?
Distance, I suppose.
Distance of what?
Distance from where you are as a referee.
Yeah.
To where the incident took place.
Yeah.
Is it clear enough to shout handball or no? You know, you should be on top of it, really. Otherwise, it's credibility that's at risk.
What when you say on top of it, what sort of distance would you say?
10, 15.
Yeah, if you can.
Yards, metres.
Yeah, if you yards, can. Metres, if you can. I would like to say they could do 10, maybe let's... That would be great if you were 10 metres away from it and you weren't in the way, but an acceptable distance has got to be around about the 20-metre mark. Mm-hmm. And moving to sell the decision.
Yeah.
Moving towards
where the play is.
You can guarantee when you blow the whistle and stand there and look pretty and make the right signals, if you stand still and you're 20-plus metres away, players are almost encouraged by your position to question your decision. So consequently, position of the referee, position of the arms are key pieces to consider. What about distance the ball has travelled?
Yeah, I suppose.
Shot in front of goal in the penalty area. These are key areas. You know, these are times when the referee is expected to give a penalty, or he shows a bit of compassion and thinks the player didn't have any time in which to consider the position of his arms. Now, you've got to consider, were the arms already making the target bigger? Because that's what players will do on occasions. And consequently block a shot. But if a player is turning 2 yards in front of the defender to have a shot on goal, and the defender is running at the attacker to block the shot, you've then got to consider the distance at which the ball has travelled, and if the defender was actually trying to make himself a bigger target, or his hands were even in what you might say a natural position. There are so many things to consider with handball. You've got to be definite about it. You've got to have credibility with it. And you've mentioned about positioning. So if you give yourself the optimum view and you give yourself the opportunity to think, because when you see an incident, the skill of refereeing and good refereeing is about being able to replay that incident that you've seen. Some of them are almost instantaneous and you know from the heart that that's going to be given. But then other times you've got to sort of replay it in your mind. What did I see? What did I see? And you've taken a photograph of that incident and you've replayed it in your mind. Yeah, I saw him handball that. But there are always going to be buts. Was the player in a reasonable position? Did he have time to put his hands up? Did he have time to put his arms down? You know, all those things. So then you're going to consider that word again, deliberate. Yeah, does that sort of pretty well sum up a little bit for you?
Yeah, the handball.
Do you want any more?
No, I mean, I think the handball thing can come round and round and round and round again.
Yeah.
It always will do. And there will always be so many different situations and why it was or it wasn't a handball.
Yeah.
Like I say, we'll come back to handball, no doubt, on another occasion on the Referees World podcast, which if you are listening to for the first time, thank you very much for finding us out. We're on Twitter at Referees World. We're online at refereesworld.co.uk. Right, just one final section for us on this particular bite size, which is getting slightly bigger than bite size, just looking at the timings that we're on.
Chunky.
But that's fine.
Chunky.
It is chunky size.
Chunky
it
size.
It is chunky size at the moment. And that is not being interested. Now, this is quite an interesting one, quite advertently. What I mean by this, not being interested, you as official, you commit yourself to be an official, okay, to the highest possible standards. Don't just turn up, take the money and run, because that is not the right attitude to have. Now, I'm going to relay an incident that I am aware of whereby a referee has turned up at the game, plenty of time to do a warm-up, etc. The assistants were already there, sat on the side, smoking cigarettes. So straight away, that doesn't say to me that's a professional approach to the game. Then refused to warm up and do exercises with the referee, which again is straight away, you're going against the grain. Half-time, you come in and there's a discussion about certain instances which particularly should have been a little tighter than they were. And then those involved decided to go against the grain of the referee. And this obviously continued through the game. It won't be the first time this has happened. It certainly won't be the last.
No.
And then at the end of the game, a little bit of verbal slanging goes on. And then that sort of escalates into a report to a local FA and so on and so forth. Players get put on hold, as it were. And a huge can of worms has been opened unnecessarily. So I think the message here is if you're not interested, then why turn up?
Yeah, I think you're touching on a code of conduct here, Da.
Yeah, I think
there is a code of conduct for referees, isn't there?
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, okay, maybe I'm a little bit converted and long in the tooth about this, but there's a lot of referees out there that are committed to this cause of enjoying refereeing, helping players enjoy it, help their progress, you know, just the general sporting environment of football. But there are some colleagues out there that I do question why they have ever bothered, you know, and it's almost turning up with, I'm only here to take the money. And I do question that level of commitment. And I don't call it a level of commitment, to be perfectly honest. I just think that's, you know, turn up, take the money and disappear almost, you know, without any thought of, what can one say, applying themselves accordingly, you know.
I think it's just it ruins your credibility from the word go. If I was to turn up as a referee and see one of my colleagues sat there not particularly smartly dressed and smoking a cigarette, that would have my back up straight away.
Okay. I'm going to go with words such as etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
There is an element of etiquette amongst referees that we expect. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a smoker myself, so I don't understand the need to, but there will be some colleagues that want to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it at the right time, at the right place. You don't use match time to do it, and I mean half time or directly at the end of the game. I mean, there is a need to have a briefing. A pre-match instruction with the referee discussion. You'll meet the teams. You've got team sheets, and then at half time, there's a reason to debrief on the first 45 minutes and that type of situation. So you've got to debate. You've got to find out reasons of how to improve or how to sustain a good performance, and that's at half time. That's what you do then. And then at the end of the game, to be disinterested at the end of the game and almost rude, I think is probably a word, to go out there and decide that, you know, it's my time now, the game's over, I don't care what's happened, I think is just neglect of duties. And for me, it's just not good enough.
So
whoever that was.
Yeah, I think it's one of these situations that I think it can put quite a few people into an awkward situation. And if it ever happened, or you find yourself, whether you're a referee or you're an assistant referee or, you know, a fourth official or whatever, would your advice be to perhaps report it to the local FA straight away, or to speak to your mentor, to speak to somebody and say, well, look, how do I deal with a situation like this? Because I felt very uncomfortable.
Somewhere along here in the discussion, this is quite a serious debate now. This is there's an element of misconduct here. I'm not sure to what extent the misconduct might go towards or escalate towards. But if there's any exchange of opinions, and let's call them frank exchanges of opinions with some descriptive words used, then that is a level of misconduct which is not acceptable in refereeing. And like I say, whilst I don't know, you know, who's involved there, whoever they are, wherever you are, referees, if you're involved in slagging off your colleagues or being abusive towards them, it's got to stop. It's not on. Like I say, for me, it is a level of misconduct. And if it happens, then if it were to happen to me and I was abused or somebody used offensive language at me and they were supposed to be a colleague, I would report them. I would report them. That, there's no doubt about that.
Some good strong advice there, I think. Rich, the end of our first bite-sized edition, or chunky.
That was chunky.
But no, it's flown by. It's amazing how this stuff does fly by. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back for more Referees World podcast really soon. Thanks very much for listening.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.